Since 1955, one of the first facilities founded in America, ministering to women and children in crisis. I'm talking about the Evangel Home of Fresno, and the Evangel Home has a weekly radio voice on the radio. It's called Heartline, and this just happens to be this week's edition. Welcome to Heartline. Here's your Heartline host, Jim Tuck.
All right, back to Heartline. We're in Jerry Brenneman's office. Jerry's the director of the Evangel Home and its programs here about a half a block down Yosemite Avenue in downtown Fresno. And Jerry, we've had more conversation off mic with Teresa than just about any guest I remember interviewing over the years here. Some interesting perspectives we hope to get to. We want to get her story, why she's here, and you know, those kinds of things first. But there are some interesting philosophical perspectives we'd like to hear her talk about, too. So take a very brief time and introduce Teresa, and then we'll get into that.
Okay, thank you, Jim. Teresa is with us in the Crisis Home, which is our 28-day shelter for homeless women or women in crisis. And she's only been with us about a week, but she's one of those women that in a week you see a pretty solid person that, you know, takes care of business, knows the schedule, knows what she should be doing. I noticed the first couple of days she was here a lot. A lot of the women come and go, and but she was always here, so I figured, oh, that means she's probably on restriction. And because when women are on restriction, that means they've got a recent drug or alcohol or some other problem that we don't want them out running around tempting themselves yet. So I asked her about that. And she was on restriction, so that gave us another conversation. But she has not, and you're off of restriction now, right?
Yes, I am.
But here she is. She's still sticking around. Mm. And there was just something, no complaining, no, and just, yeah, the kind of woman that makes her job a little bit easier.
Mm. Well, and we talked earlier, but just for our listeners, I came in to do the radio program, and Teresa was sitting talking with Florence in the living room, and Florence is an old friend, so we began a conversation, and Teresa jumped right in. I thought maybe she was a volunteer or a guest, you know. It's so participatory in a conversation, in a very lucid manner, and inappropriate. But Teresa, as I like to say at times, women who come here it's not because they're hitting the glass ceiling of corporate America. Lives have gone awry.
Yes.
So why did you need a place to stay?
Well, you know, basically what happened was I got married in May. My husband was very abusive, mostly mentally, but, you know, bruises go away. Mental abuse kind of sticks with you. And I came down to get my children, and he took over the house, he took the car, he took everything, basically. And that's fine, because possessions are possessions, they can all be replaced. He can't take what's important, and that's yourself, unless you let them. And so basically, having no place to go, I lost my children to CPS, which I'm very grateful that my sister has them right now, and they're taken care of. And so I came into the Evangel Home, and very warm welcome, very... You feel at home when you come here. And I know there's
we hear that a lot.
I know there's a lot of rules and there's a lot of restrictions and, you know, things you can and can't do. But, you know, it really isn't that hard if you think about it. And it's just kind of stuff you should be doing anyways. I always like to say that I was given a sign, but I didn't take it the first time. So I had to be smacked a little harder, you know.
Yeah, well, don't we? Most of us know that story. Well, what about your background? Most of the time, I think it's fair to say, you had some abuse in your relationship. Has there been substance abuse in your background?
You know, I had a medical marijuana license, and so that's why I was on restriction. Not saying I haven't tried other things earlier, you know, like previous years, but not recently.
And no ongoing long-term addictions to them? Is that what you're saying?
No. I have very strong-willed. I came from a good childhood. You know, my parents were both supportive. They didn't fight. But another thing is I've been diagnosed with bipolar 2.
Okay.
And I found out through all this, I found out I've been on the wrong meds. So another bright Rhea's son, is that I've been on the right meds now and feeling better every day, you know.
Okay.
Were you on medical marijuana for that?
It was for my anxiety, which stems from that.
Okay. Because that's another real interesting conundrum for us. We don't accept women who are on methadone. That's often a drug that's used when they're getting off heroin, but it still is them going to the clinic, and it's like, it's not going to work in here. Mm-hmm. Medical marijuana, we're not letting women stay here if they are on medical marijuana, because many of them are on it just because it's a fun and easy way to get marijuana. Mm-hmm. So we said no to her, and she was okay with it. So now she has stopped. And
I actually had my license expired in September, and I had chose at that time to not, because I don't think it was helping anything at all. So I was just masking the problem. So I chose to do
without. So you've had your meds adjusted, and your bipolar situation is stabilized at this point?
Yes. Yes, they tell me that it's going to take a month for all the antidepressants to get out of my system. But, you know, they said I would feel better within a couple of days, and I did. Hmm. So, you know, just been.
So what do you see down the road? Or are you just, at this point, still going day to day, getting yourself well?
I am struggling getting myself well, making sure that I don't fall back into depression, which is very hard to do here. You know, so that's good. I'm thankful for that. And I am on Social Security, so I am looking to get a place, and it's just a matter of, you know, I had let my husband take advantage of me and take my some money, and so that's another reason why I ended up without a place, and I'm just trying to be wiser, make wiser decisions. And
will you attempt at some point to get into the workplace?
I'm not sure if I can, because of my illness. I know I can do it, but there's other situations. You know, I'm on Social Security. Once you get off, it's hard to get back on. Hmm. My son has a slight case of autism.
Okay.
So I usually choose to take care of him and try and put his needs.
Okay. Jerry, I want to, we're okay for time. You wanted to, curiosity, to ask a question of Teresa. As someone who's been on the street, and it's passionate, and you'll express it better than I. So why don't you talk about that? That question was meandering through your mind, and we actually did talk with Teresa about it before we started the program.
Thank you, Jim. Teresa is one of those people that has spent a little bit of time in, not in a homeless encampment, but with people in tents, whether they were the we've got all sorts of tents around here right now, but I'm always fascinated, Jim, by how much is being done in this town for homeless folks, and yet there's always so much attention given to 150 or so who are not in shelters, not in housing. And recently the city they demolished some encampments. And I think there were maybe 285 people that they then dislodged. They found housing for about half of them. So as we record this show in middle November, there were about 150 that were not put in places. Now, some of those folks don't want to be in places. And I asked Teresa about that. Why every single homeless woman out there who does not have a place, why isn't she here?
Mm-hmm.
I have gone to every woman I've ever seen on the street corner, and I know I've shared this before, when they have their signs that say I'm homeless, and I give them an Evangel Home brochure. I write my name on it. I misspell my name so they can pronounce it. I give them my work cell number. I call the Evangel Home and say, I've just given a card to Cindy. If she calls, let her in. None of them have ever called.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not talking hundreds of women, but say a dozen. Why won't they're always very polite, but there's always a reason they find not to come in. And Teresa could have done that, but she didn't. But being out there long enough, I think she has seen some of the reasons they don't come in. Our ministry is, as you know, Jim, to the one woman. Rather than 1,000 women, we are better at ministering to one woman. So if there's even one woman who's homeless, we should have her in here.
Yeah.
But if she won't come, what do you do?
So, Teresa, you've been out there. You've had conversations. You know what's going through the minds of some of the folks who are living out there who have chosen not to pursue an opportunity for shelter, but just plain prefer to be on the street. What are they saying?
They're saying that it's the rules, mostly.
They don't want to follow rules.
They don't want to follow. They want to be a free spirit. They want to do their own thing.
So they'd rather be on the street than in a bed.
I don't understand why either, but that's what I'm hearing. That's what I've heard.
Does that surprise you?
It really doesn't, because I'm thinking that all the way through history of the world, you have folks that either don't want to be in a place where they have rules or they can't comply for whatever. I think of all of the hobo jungles and things like that that are part of American history. Some of that was economic tragedy for those folks. Some of it was folks that wanted to live that way, jumping the railroads and going from town to town. I think there's sort of that element in that group of people that would really rather be outdoors. And I think we have accommodated, we've tried so hard, Jim, with some of the homeless things going on, like Poverello and their City of Hope, their tents that they have over there, to accommodate that. And I haven't talked to anybody over there recently. I don't know what's happening there. But this latest demolition of the tent cities, maybe some of those people did go to Poverello. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we're running short on time now. We got about a minute left. But it's a fine line we walk as believers, because those people are precious souls in Jesus' sight, and we need to find ways to love them, and yet if they won't be held accountable for making good choices or to opening themselves to the gospel or any help, all they want is to be enabled in their lifestyle of living on the street and squatting on somebody else's property. Well, that's not right. And so, you know, it's a tough line we walk.
And at some point you have to weigh the city's health against the individual's wishes at some point.
Yeah.
It's like the folks that use our alley for a dump. It's, you know, right now we've got two or three mattresses out there, two or three chairs. Those are people not too concerned about other people's needs.
Yeah.
We're running out of time, aren't we?
We are running out of time. My listening friend, we're in the holiday season. Christmas is coming up. We need turkeys. We need paper goods. We need cash. Those are the big three. Won't you prayerfully consider giving us a hand here? Give us a call at 264-4714. Teresa, thank you for sharing and your transparency. Jerry, it's always a pleasure. My listening friend, thank you for joining us. And Lord willing, we expect to be back next week again with another edition of Heartline from Evangel Home of Fresno.
Well, there you have it, this week's edition of Heartline, the radio voice of the Evangel Home in Fresno. Remember, 24/7 from anywhere on the face of the earth with an internet connection, find out about the Evangel Home at evangelhome.org. Contact them by phone in the 559 area code 264-4714. God bless you abundantly. Thanks for joining us for this week's Heartline, the radio voice of the Evangel Home in Fresno, blessing women and children in crisis since 1955.